This is Jay Sekulow. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump makes a major foreign policy speech exactly at the same time that President Obama releases more Gitmo detainees. And we've got a major announcement on a case.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Overseas, ISIS has carried out an absolute atrocity, and one after another. Ethnic minorities targeted for mass execution, holy sites desecrated, Christians driven from their homes and hunted for extermination. ISIS rounding up what it calls Nation of the Cross, Nation of the Cross, in a campaign of absolute and total genocide. Our new approach, which must be shared by both parties in America, by our allies overseas, and by our friends in the Middle East, must be to halt the spread of radical Islam. All actions should be oriented around this goal, and any country which shares this goal will be our ally. Very important. Some don't share this goal.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Pentagon confirming the transfer of 15 Guantanamo Bay detainees to the United Arab Emirates. It is the single largest detainee transfer since President Obama took office. Only 61 now remain at that facility.
The 15 are being sent to countries that make up the United Arab Emirates, where it is presumed that former Guantanamo prisoners are subject to some degree of supervision and monitoring, but just how much is not clear. President Obama has made it a priority to close the prison camp before his presidency ends. He's well on track to do that. 61 prisoners, described as the worst of the worst, remain at Guantanamo despite tremendous Republican congressional opposition to further resettlement of these terrorists. It's being reported now by the New York Times and other media outlets that one of the 15 released, Abdel Qadir Hussein al-Mudafari, is a former bodyguard to Osama bin Laden.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about on the broadcast today. We're going to get into the foreign policy speech of Donald Trump. We're going to get into the situation and the developments with the president closing or threatening now to take 15 additional, not threatening, transferring 15 additional Gitmo detainees out of Guantanamo Bay. Will the president be able to close Gitmo as he promised? Probably not. We'll take your calls on all of this at 1-800-684-3110. And I want to know from you how important it is for you in this election that we stand with Israel. And there's a specific reason we're asking. And if you're pro-Israel or you're post-Israel, whatever your position is, I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. I need to announce, and this is our first official announcement of the case. I'm holding my hands for our Facebook audience, our audience on watching on the web, folks on Periscope. This is a lawsuit. This is one massive, giant lawsuit. It is the most significant U.S. federal court action we have ever engaged in defense of the legitimacy of the Jewish state of Israel. Palestinian activists opposed to Israel's existence as a Jewish state have filed a billion-dollar lawsuit in the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C., against numerous organizations that support Israel, includes businesses, individual citizens and nonprofits groups, as well as a whole list of U.S. major companies, part of this BDS movement. They've alleged civil conspiracy, war crimes, the commission aiding and abetting the commission of war crimes, and trespass. It is an absurd and outrageous attempt to utilize the U.S. federal courts to delegitimize Israel. We have been called into action in the case by a very prominent Jerusalem-based lawyer, Mark Zell, who has a tremendous reputation as a litigator around the globe. He is serving as lead counsel in this case. He has brought us in to serve now as co-counsel in this case, defending Gush Etzion Foundation. And Gush Etzion, I want to put this up on the screen. Those of you that have been to Israel and know about the Jewish Jerusalem, here is the great quote from the Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. I can think of no battle in the annals of Israel Defense Forces which has had more magnificent, more tragic, or more heroic than the struggle for Gush Etzion. If there exists a Jewish Jerusalem, our foremost thanks go to the defenders of Gush Etzion. That's who we're representing in federal court. We'll talk more about that, the implications of it. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, people can engage also on air on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. You can join us right now. Facebook and Periscope are broadcasting live right there, right now. Facebook.com/JaySekulow.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So if you're just joining us, a major piece of litigation, the ACLJ, we are handling, actually, it's the most significant U.S. federal court case in defense of Israel's legitimacy as a Jewish state. As I mentioned earlier, Palestinian activists have filed this suit. We're representing Gush Etzion, which served a critical role in the ability for Jerusalem to be a Jewish portion. I mean, there was not a heavy Jewish president, believe it or not, in Jerusalem. It was certainly when you see the existence of Jerusalem today as a Jewish Jerusalem, as David Ben-Gurion said, this is because of the valiant effort of the soldiers of Gush Etzion, which is, and we're representing the foundation, which is a portion of Israel. I don't know if we have the map up yet. I know we're going to work on it. So we'll get that up. But I wanted to let you know that the foundation that we're representing is a charity dedicated to the history and people of Gush Etzion. It's a group of Israeli cities and town, about 70,000 folks. We are working with Mark Zell on the case. Mark is a very prominent lawyer in Jerusalem. Our offices in, and this is important for people to understand, for this case, our offices in Washington, New York, and Jerusalem are all engaged in this case. And Jordan, this is a huge case for the legitimacy of the Jewish state. It's the biggest case for the legitimacy of the Jewish state because it's in federal court.
That's right. It involves an issue that some like to term, you know, settlements, but this is one that dates back even before Israel's existence. So Jews have been living on this spot since before the nation of Israel existed. In fact, we read the quote from Prime Minister Ben-Gurion, and that was because in 1948, all of the people who lived there that were Jewish, as Israel was becoming independent, were massacred.
Right.
So the fleeing Arab armies who were had been defeated by Israel on their way out massacred all of the people, all of the Jewish people who live in this specific area in the Judean hills. It was not restarted again until after the 67 war, but it was one of Israel's first actions to put Jews back in this area of Judea and Samaria.
And this is such a significant case. Logan's media team, we're going to be meeting, I think, in early September. We may be doing a full documentary on, because the story of Gush Etzion, by the way, what Jordan's saying is right. I mean, the Israel's independence was declared the day after Gush Etzion, the soldiers were killed. These 35 soldiers allowed for a Jewish Jerusalem. But we're looking at doing a full documentary on this.
That's right. It's such a compelling story and story that's really untold, especially to an American audience, that we think it'd be a good story to tell.
And it also ties in, because these were the Holocaust survivors. The area was started by, settled by, Holocaust survivors in the more modern Israel history. So there's just a tremendous amount to tell in this incredible story, and how the letters that the Holocaust survivors who were in Gush Etzion wrote to their children, who now in 67 liberated, as Jordan said, they liberated that area. and got it back. It was the children of the Holocaust survivors that obtained the victory in 67 and 68. It was God in the 67 war that allowed Israel to then reclaim Jerusalem. But what a magnificent story. And we have the privilege of defending Gush Etzion in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia. I mean, I can't tell you how excited we are on this.
People are asking what that means to be defending them. Are you representing the area? Are you representing the people?
Good question. So Gush Etzion is an area about, we're going to get a map up, but we have it later in the broadcast. We've got it. There it is. Okay. So Gush Etzion, I'm trying to find it on the map. Maybe
it's right there.
Is it in the dots? Right here. So you see it's right before Jerusalem. Right before Jerusalem. And I'm showing our Facebook and Periscope audience. And for our radio audience, it's right outside of Jerusalem. You've seen this if you've traveled to Jerusalem. So it's a large area. They have been sued by these, it's basically a boycott, divest, and sanction movement, all these Palestinian activists, for civil conspiracy, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide, aiding and abetting the commission of war crimes, and aggravated and ongoing trespass. In other words, the aggravated and ongoing trespass, people need to understand what that means. The Palestinians are saying, you're trespassing because this is our land. They say aiding and abetting the commission of the war crime, defending their land. So this is, again, these Palestinian groups, Jordan, trying to use the legal system to delegitimize Israel. But we are defending the Gush Etzion Foundation, which is the foundation that a lot of these cities have foundations that allow for international aid to come in and to help with these areas. And that's exactly what they're doing and we're defending.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about lawfare, and lawfare is a form of warfare to utilize court systems, specifically Western court systems. So court systems like the International Criminal Court, which were set up by the Western world, and then utilize those systems even when you yourself aren't complying, because you take on the larger entity, if you will. And for many of these groups, that would be Israel. And now in this case, utilizing and attempting to utilize U.S. courts.
Yep.
This would be, I would say that how unique is this for a lawsuit like this to be filed in America against an Israeli group?
Incredible. I mean, this is they've tried it once before, but not to this level. And Gush Etzion, if you know Bethlehem and Jerusalem, that's the area you're talking about.
Yep.
So it's the most significant piece of federal litigation ever brought in, because what you said, Jordan's correct, in the U.S. courts. This is a big defense that we're engaging in, folks. And I'm going to hold it up again here, because this shows you the volume. What I'm holding in my hand, and for a radio audience, how many pages would you say this is?
Over 700.
700 pages. So for a radio audience, just think about that for a moment. Here it is. I mean, you could see it on TV for our television audience as well. This is a huge, huge lawsuit, and we are thrilled that we have the opportunity to represent Gush Etzion. So, Logan, does that answer the questions pretty well?
I think so.
Probably some calls.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Roberta, who's calling in Pueblo, Colorado.
Hi, Roberta.
You're on the air.
Hi. Just thank you so much for standing up for Israel, standing up for the Jewish people.
Thanks.
They are God's chosen people.
Yep.
It is biblically correct, morally correct, and humanely correct, and that's my comment.
Well, Roberta, I appreciate it. I want to tell you something. This is an honor of our lifetime. I mean, this is when I spoke at the UN, that was just, when was that? The end of May, right? The end of May. Here we are at the middle of August. 6 weeks later, after that speech at the United Nations, we are now defending Israel in the most significant case in the United States. As Jordan said, it's unusual because it's not in The Hague. It's not in these. It's in the United States. But then if you look at what we just did at the UN just 6 weeks ago, and then here we are again, this shows you the scope and nature of our work. And for our viewers out there, I want you to understand something. Our offices in Washington, New York, Jerusalem, all working on this. Our offices at the campus of Regent University working on this case. Our offices in Atlanta working on this case at Emory University. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, Jay, first of all, I think this is the most important work we do. I mean, the event that we had at the UN laid the foundation for it. But I would just say two things. Number one, this lawsuit is rooted in anti-Semitism, and this is something that I'm making sure the Hill understands. But secondly, and people really need to understand this, you've laid out the magnitude of the legal case, 700 pages in this lawsuit, huge legal ramifications. But also, the pure size of the lawsuit, Jay, and the financial demands that are in there, those are intended for a marketing purpose. Those are intended to scare these defendants and other entities from doing business with Israel. So our work is going to certainly involve the legal angle, but it's also got to involve telling the story. We cannot be afraid to do work with Israel. And this lawsuit and our work in it is going to have to involve both of those efforts.
All right, Logan, let's take another phone call here. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, Michael, Virginia, on line five.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'd like to say that, like the last caller, that we – we are morally bound to support Israel in every way we can. And it is biblical. I believe very strongly as a born-again Christian, the words of God that state, I will bless those who bless you, right, and curse those who curse you. And listen, we're at a turning point in history now.
Yeah, absolutely. And this history, the history of Gush Etzion, Jordan, you talked about this. If there exists a Jewish Jerusalem today, our foremost thanks goes to the defenders of Gush Etzion. That's the area that was from David Ben-Gurion. As Jordan mentioned, the Arab Legion massacred the Jews of Gush Etzion, but in a miracle, in the Six-Day War, the sons and daughters of those Holocaust survivors that started Gush Etzion, the sons and daughters as soldiers reclaimed that territory and made it again a Jewish Jerusalem. We're defending our client from these attacks, but this is a direct attack on the legitimacy of the Jewish state.
Yes, it is. And so this is not a new area. This, again, this is where Jews existed in the land that compromises Israel, Judea and Samaria, right, since before the founding of the modern state of Israel. So these were groups of Jews who did not, they were not part of the diaspora and ended up in Europe or North Africa or then in even, you know, the United States, right, of America. They stayed in the Middle East. And in a sense, they were very important because they maintained that historical recognition and this historical timeline, if you will, when it comes to genealogy,
right,
of the Jews being in what is now the Jewish state of Israel, which these Palestinian groups try to say they weren't even here. They, right, haven't even been here. This is our land. And so this group was very important. It's why when the Arab armies were fleeing in 1948, one of their last actions was to massacre those who lived at this settlement to destroy,
exactly,
it. And they took that, you know, they took that territory.
Okay.
It took until 1967 for Israel to reclaim it, and one of their first acts was to set it back up.
Yep.
Anne wants to know on Facebook, maybe too quick, we have to take in the next segment, but why is it being filed here in the U.S.?
Ah, so they are utilizing the U.S. That's a great question. They are utilizing the U.S. court system because they say they can't get justice in Israel, but they're utilizing the court system in the United States, actually, to, again, delegitimize or try to delegitimize Israel right here in the United States. So we're going to, the first thing we're going to do is file a massive, you saw the lawsuit, 700 pages, a massive motion to dismiss. We've got a lot of work ahead, folks. Hey, we're in a matching challenge campaign for the month of August, where we're about $70,000 behind where we were last year, about 2,000 donations off from where we were last year. You can make a difference. If you want to, you know, bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. Stand with Israel. You can stand with us right now at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. I encourage you to make a donation online right now. It's doubled in the Logan. We can take more calls and comments when we come back.
Calls are slammed right now, but they will open up 1-800-684-3110. But you can always get your comment in on Facebook, facebook.com/jseculo, or watch it on ACLJ.org. All right.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've made a major announcement. We're going to do the back 30 minutes of the broadcast. We're getting into the politics and the speech yesterday by Donald Trump. But we had a big announcement on this case involving Gush Etzion, which is a foundation that is part of an Israeli town. They call it a settlement, the Palestinian agitators here. They filed a massive federal lawsuit, and we are defending it along with Mark Zell, who's the lead lawyer in it. We are the co-defense counsel with him. He's out of Jerusalem. So our offices in Jerusalem, New York, and Washington are defending this group. The charges range from civil conspiracy to trespass. Trespass because they say, hey, it's not your land. This is what they're telling the Jews of Gush Etzion, and I told you the story of Gush Etzion. We'll have more on this on Friday, and like I said, it's a very compelling story we're going to get into. But let's go ahead right back to the phones. Let me bring Than into this quickly and get Jordan to comment as well. Than, you brought up a point about the, and I'm going to show it to our Facebook and Periscope audience again, kind of the where Gush Etzion is, this administration would like that land given back to the Palestinian Authority. That's what the Obama administration would like.
Yeah, we had a caller ask why this lawsuit was filed in U.S. courts, and I really believe that this lawsuit is emboldened by this administration's position that the line in this area should really be determined by a forced settlement, by a U.N. resolution.
Right.
That is a position that the United States has typically vehemently opposed. Not this administration. This administration thinks that Israel should be forced to comply by a line that the United Nations draws. That's really not a different demand than is being made in this lawsuit. So I think part of this responsibility lies on the president's desk.
Yeah, and Jordan, we talked about this again during the break, but it's important to point out that they're utilizing the courts here for a very particular reason.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you utilize the courts for the idea it's, you know, lawfare, and it also costs money. You know, even if they fail in their lawsuit, which is, you know, I believe with our representation, the other legal representation involved here, that they ultimately will, that they are costing this group significant resources. Now, the ACLJ can come in assistance at no charge, and that's a great thing, because of our supporters out there who listen to this broadcast and who are part ACLJ donors. But all of the other groups that are involved in this major civil lawsuit have got to defend themselves now in federal court. So it's about dragging people through the mud, going through that court process, subpoenaing people to testify. It's why it's important to jump on this quickly and try to get it squashed as quickly as possible.
And that's what we're going to do. All right, Logan, right back to the phones.
Marla's calling from North Dakota on line one.
Marla, hi, Marla. Go ahead.
Hi. I've been listening to this conversation from the, you know, quite a while now. And what I have to say is that I want to know what happened to common sense in this country. The other thing is, I don't see anywhere in the Constitution where it says that the United States of America is supposed to define what country is what.
Well, hold it now. What do you mean, what country is what? You mean, you're talking about the Obama administration trying to do that, or are you saying that we shouldn't be defending Israel?
No. What I'm saying is, I think this is a frivolous lawsuit, and I don't think the United States of America has any business.
Hold it. Marla, we didn't file the lawsuit. Okay, I think it's frivolous too, but it's in federal court. We didn't file the lawsuit. The Palestinian Authority filed the lawsuit.
I don't think the Palestinian Authority has any right to file.
We don't either. I mean, so we don't either. It's not the Palestinians. I should be clear. It's Palestinian activists affiliated with the Palestinian Authority. No, look, we think it should be dismissed. And that we're going to move to dismiss it. But the reality is, this is a ongoing, you got to understand something. This is the most significant piece of litigation they filed in this sense. They are utilizing U.S. courts to do this. And we've got to defend it back. So I don't know if you're opposed to our position or not opposed to our position. I'm not clear on that. But I will tell you this. We're going to defend Israel, period. I'll tell you, you don't think it says in the Constitution? Let me be very clear. I think that part of the role of commander-in-chief is to defend our allies. And number two, I also read the Bible. And that's pretty clear, too. So I'm gonna do what that says. How about that? All right, let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Alex, who's calling in California. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, thanks so much for all your defense of Israel and the Christians in this country. I know for the short time that I've been listening to your program that you've done many, many things for it, and I appreciate that. My concern at this point is how to stop Obama from doing any more of this releasing of Gitmo, and do we have enough time to stop him before anything else he does before he's out?
So let's talk about the Gitmo. Let me get Fan, the 15 more release. I want Jordan to comment on this too, but also I want to tie this into what I think we're afraid he's going to try to do on the Israel front. But let's hit with Gitmo first, and we'll get some comments too, Logan. Gitmo, release 15 more. He's not going to be able to close Gitmo before he leaves, though. I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
He's not. He released another 15 detainees, yep, including a former bodyguard of Osama bin Laden. Listen, there are 61 detainees left in Gitmo, and I cannot stress this firmly enough. These are the worst of the, yep, worst. Jay, listen to this. 41 of these 61 who are still in Guantanamo Bay can't even get approved for transfer. They can't even begin negotiating with another country.
Right.
That's how dangerous they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're not closing Gitmo, and you're not going to transfer them to a U.S. Penal institution. So nice try, President Obama. But, failed.
But he is trying to find other countries who will take them. So these 15, it was difficult. They were, yeah, pre-approved, but no country would take them. So there was pressure put on the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and ultimately these 15 are heading there. So you have to be concerned that he is trying to empty it out and putting pressure on our allies in, yep, the Middle East to take these radicals.
Do we have another comment, Logan, you want to get to?
I can go pull up a comment. Yeah, a lot of people, one person said they donated to help support.
Appreciate
this.
That. Thank you.
We did answer that. Maybe you can clear it up a little bit. Who filed the lawsuit?
Okay, so, yeah, because so a lot of people.
It's a little confusing.
It's, I mean, I'm not going to even try to pronounce all the names, but it's a group of about 40 Palestinian activists. These are groups, their names are, I mean, voluminous, to say the least. These are affiliated with radical organizations, pro-Palestinian organizations, anti-Israel organizations, and there's a lot of plaintiffs in the case. So they moved, it's probably, like I said, about 30 or 40 of the plaintiffs. What's important to understand, though, is we're getting into this time frame, and this is something we've got to realize, is there is serious concern, then, that the president is going to try to redraw those 67 borders. He talks about that, returning to the 67 borders. They may try to force that at the UN after the election before he's in. And the problem with that, of course, is that would put Gush Etzion, the town we're defending, outside of Israel.
The time of this is not an accident, Jay. I mean, he's been moving this direction for 7.5 years. And listen, this lawsuit is filed just weeks before the United Nations sits for its cycle this fall. I guarantee you this issue of where that line is going to be drawn and whether or not Israel has to take a forced settlement, that will be on the table. Yep. So we will be in court defending this lawsuit. At the same time, this administration will likely be pushing Israel to the same conclusion at the United Nations. We're going to have to fight it on both fronts.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back. Logan, let everybody know how they can get the next 30 minutes of the program. Then I'm going to ask everybody to do something.
Right, if you want to join us for the next half hour and your network doesn't carry it, a lot of ways you can do it online, ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app for audio feeds and video. Or you can join us and get your voice heard, Facebook.com/JSecular. You get to watch us, talk to us during the breaks, commercial free if you watch online, Facebook and Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. Again, ACLJ.org as well, or you can give us a call. One line is open right now, and I'm sure that will change, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. It's a great way to interact with the ACLJ, and it's fun to be on those Facebook and Periscope chats and be in a conversation with people who are like-minded and sometimes not so like-minded.
Yeah, it's okay. It's free country.
Yeah.
Unlike most of these other countries you deal with. All right, so we'll take more of your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me ask everybody to do something right now. We just undertook the representation of this case as co-counsel in this major federal litigation defending Israel in federal court 6 weeks after we did the speech at the UN. This is a big piece of litigation. We're going to try aggressively to get it dismissed. We've got a lot of work to do. We think we'll get it there. We need your help. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We're about $70,000 behind where we need to be, about $100,000 behind our goal. So we could use your help. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. We encourage you to donate online, support the ongoing work of the ACLJ as we take on the most significant U.S. federal court case in defense of Israel's legitimacy as a Jewish state in history. ACLJ.org for that matching challenge. Back with more in a moment.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
we are announcing that we've undertaken the most significant U.S. federal court case in defense of Israel's legitimacy as a Jewish state. Palestinian activists who are opposed to the legitimacy of Israel and even the existence of Israel have filed a billion-dollar lawsuit against a number of companies, towns, government officials, but also the Gush Etzion Foundation. Gush Etzion plays a unique role in modern Israel history. David Ben-Gurion said, if there exists a Jewish Jerusalem, our foremost thanks go to the defenders of Gush Etzion. They have now been sued by these Palestinian activists who are charging civil conspiracy, war crimes, aiding and abetting the commission of war crimes, and aggravated and ongoing trespass. Trespass because they believe that the land should not be Israel's to begin with. And by the way, if President Obama, Jordan, had his way and returned to the 67 borders, Gush Etzion would not be part of the Jewish state of Israel.
No, that's exactly right.
And that's what he wants.
This would certainly not be included. It's, you know, within now the West Bank, and these are, you know, you're close to some major Palestinian cities. The one that people listening to this broadcast who have visited Israel would know the most, obviously, would be Bethlehem. It's still a place where people, most of the time, as long as it's safe to travel, will make that journey out of the formal boundaries of the state of Israel into the West Bank territory. But I will say, different than the Gaza Strip, the West Bank is still very much in control of by the Israelis. They run the security apparatuses. Yep. You will see Israeli military moving freely through the West Bank. And though the Palestinians love to complain about this, they're headquartered up, if you're watching our broadcast on Facebook and Periscope, in that city, Ramallah. They love to complain about this. They need them because the radical terrorists in cities like Hebron, Ramallah, even in Jericho, to some extent, will attempt to utilize, you know, these zones as safe havens to operate terror, because there's not a very strong Palestinian Authority military.
Yep. All right, so we've got a lot more on this. Yeah, but we're going to have a lot more of this later in the week as well, but let's take a call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Tracy, who's calling from Portland, Oregon, on line four.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi. I want to thank you guys first for all you do.
Thanks.
All the cases you try, but also, I believe this is one of the most important, if not the most important, case you guys will be involved in. And the Bible is very clear about God's heart for Israel and what our heart is to be as Christians, to stand for, with, and behind, so, and to pray for. So just thank you guys for what you're doing.
Well, we couldn't do it without our supporters, and we appreciate that. Our director of public policy, Harry Hutchison, pointed out a excellent editorial that was in the Wall Street Journal today, and it talks about the fact remains that over the past 70 years, the Arab world has gotten rid of its Jews. That's what he says. Some 900,000 people, while holding on to its hatred of them. This is exactly what this case is about. Over time, the result provided proved fatal, a combination of lost human capital, ruinously expensive wars, misdirected ideological obsessions, and an intellectual life perverted by a conspiracy theory and perpetual search for scapegoats. The Arab world's problems are a problem of the Arab mind, and the name of that problem is anti-Semitism. And Than and Jordan, you've just been saying that. Than quickly responded to that. I want Jordan to as well. You all have been pointing that out. That's what this is.
Well, the epicenter of the epicenter of the anti-Semitism lies at the United Nations, too, Jay, which is why that speech you gave there 6 weeks ago was so significant. I would just quickly say, you know, how can a lawsuit like this be filed in an area that historically significant? A lot of it is because the president of the United States also agrees with a border that is based on those 67 borders.
Yeah, and Jordan, you said this during the break, that a return to these borders is indefensible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, the Israel, you see where Jerusalem is. People can see where Jerusalem is on the map if they're watching our broadcast on Facebook and Periscope. But it's so close. And Jerusalem being the city that everyone wants, basically, especially Muslims as well, because of it's the holiest city in the world. And so you have these major world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all converging there, which they do, by the way, in the modern state of Israel. But yes, I mean, you could imagine now, and it's, I'll try to explain for our radio audience, trying to defend the major city you live near, but bordering a hostile country, so having no perimeter around that city. Imagine that.
Yeah. Here is the president of the United States about those borders.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps, so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Indefensible. That's the position of the president. That's why we're in federal court. Back with more when we come back from the break.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and Jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, so we're going to get into some of the discussions that took place on the Donald Trump speech. Let's play a segment first to kind of set it up. This is Donald Trump laying out his plan on dealing with ISIS yesterday. Let's play number 28.
We must also screen out any who have hostile attitudes toward our country or its principles, or who believe that Sharia law should supplant American law. Those who do not believe in our Constitution or who support bigotry and hatred will not be admitted for immigration into our country. Only those who we expect to flourish in our country and to embrace a tolerant American society should be issued visas.
Yeah, so there you have it. So it's very, very direct there. Let's go ahead. I want to get kind of a sense from everybody on this. Let me start with Skip Ash, senior counsel for the ACLJ in charge of our International and National Security Law Group. Skip, your reaction to the speech first.
First of all, I thought it was much better because he was staying on message. He was focused, and I thought he laid out some good points. This point about making sure that people agree with what we stand for as a society before they come in, I think makes a lot of sense. Holland has just adopted that because their previous policy was a failure. And I remember back when I first entered the Army, you used to have to go through and sign a document that said you were not a member and never had been a member of certain organizations which right. were anti-American. And I think that worked very well then during the Cold War. And we may be in a different type of Cold War now.
Yeah. So, Wes, you mentioned in some of your notes here that the first half of the speech, which was true, he talked about fighting fascism, Nazism, communism, and then talks about the battle we're in now. What was your kind of reaction to the speech?
Yeah, I thought it was a good speech. It really was. And the points that he made, he articulated them well, but they're basically not a lot different than what the president administration is doing. The two things that were new was the idea of a questionnaire. So yep. that as people come here, they are asked about, do they support American culture, values, constitution?
Right.
The other new part was he wanted to keep Guantanamo Bay open.
That's big.
So in order to interrogate, you know, terrorists, right. not just kill them.
And you've been critical, Wes, and I know Skip has too, of the, if we don't treat these terrorists and these, we should not treat them as criminals. We've got to interrogate and get the information.
Right. We are at war. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Jordan?
Yeah, I think that the overall message will resonate with Americans. You've got a clear contrast between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You know, Hillary Clinton's calling for open borders. She's calling for everybody here illegally to be granted not just a path to status, but a path to citizenship. And you've got Donald Trump on the other side building the wall, the extreme vetting that he talked about, putting together a new test for those who enter the country.
Do we have the vetting comment?
Yeah, it's by 27.
Let's go ahead and play that, what Jordan just referenced.
We should only admit into this country those who share our values and respect our people. In the Cold War, we had an ideological screening test. The time is overdue to develop a new screening test for the threats we face today. I call it extreme vetting. I call it extreme vetting. Our country has enough problems. We don't need more.
And remember, the current questionnaire is, I kid you not, are you a terrorist? That's the current question.
Yeah, so this goes into a little bit more detail, like, do you believe in democracy? Do you believe in religious freedom? And also on, you know, how do you envision gay rights?
And that's, you know exactly where that's pointed towards.
Yeah, it's all pointed towards radical Islam. Right. Now, mm-hmm. I would say there are going to be people that come in from South America and Africa who would be good refugees, Christians I'm including, who may not get all those questions right. So there's got to be some wiggle room, especially, you know, if you're coming from developing world, third world countries in Africa, where we do a lot of work, answering that question on gay rights is going to be
tougher.
Is this, and even Brazil, you know, even a country like Brazil, if you were coming from Brazil as someone seeking this status, but this is not, those are not the individuals that are typically running. It's the Islamic world right now. That's the threat we face. These questions can be changed based off need. And so this is obviously all focused on the Islamic world and terrorism.
Yeah.
And the questions about do you believe in the U.S. Constitution and laws as opposed to Sharia will be a defining question.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
So Skip, from let's talk militarily here. We've got this. Let me play this bite again. This is where he draws a contrast. Let's play number 65.
Not let this evil continue. Nor can we let the hateful ideology of radical Islam, its oppression of women, gays, children, and non-believers, be allowed to reside or spread within our own countries.
We have called for the crushing of the and defeating the caliphate. Donald Trump kind of touched on that, much more so than Hillary Clinton would when he talks about not containing ISIS but destroying it. What did you sense from a military standpoint? I mean, he's not going to give out military details here, but I want to get yours and Wes' opinion on that.
Well, I think what he stands for clearly is that when we see an enemy and when that enemy threatens the security of the United States, we have an obligation, the president has an obligation to take action to protect the people of the United States. You cannot kill ideas, but our experience with the Islamic world is that they respect strength, and when you push back, then they retreat, and you'll have a period of peace. But you do have to show that you are not afraid to take them on, that you will take them on wherever they are, and you will ensure that they cannot spread their cancerous philosophy in the United States.
Go ahead, Wes.
Well, it's a hard decision to make, but many, many generals and former military leaders still also contend that the only way to defeat ISIS in Syria and Iraq is for there to be substantial ground forces led by substantial U.S. ground forces on the ground. And that's a hard call to make.
I know, but that's what your position is.
Yeah, though. Well, many of the generals are saying, you know, it's a pipe dream to say we can defeat them without being there.
Yeah, I think that's one thing, Jordan, you mentioned when we were on a pre-briefing that was missing.
And the Wall Street Journal has focused on this. I will say we've been pretty positive about this because it's not the Trump people have come to expect. It's the kind of Donald Trump we believe need more of to really have a shot to win the presidency.
Yeah. Again, not endorsing or opposing.
No, but I mean, just, you know, to tighten the election. Yeah.
Right.
And the Wall Street Journal, though, very negative on this speech. Now, the Wall Street Journal has started to become very negative on Donald Trump. But, you know, and that's the one where that's a pretty conservative, you know, journalism, especially, you know, the business world. But it's known to be, it has lots of conservative journalists. Yeah. Their editorial basically pointed out what we're talking about right now, which is that the Trump strategy to defeat ISIS so far appears to be the exact same one as President Obama's. For me, this is what I'd like to know from either of these candidates. I think we got it from Hillary Clinton. She's not changing anything. I want to know from Donald Trump if he really agrees with that or if he at least, he doesn't have to tell us the plan because he's afraid to tell ISIS. Is he willing potentially to send U.S. troops on the ground? He doesn't have to say he's definitely going to.
Yeah.
Would he be willing to? I want to hear that because I think that's a very important difference between Hillary Clinton.
Well, let me get Wes and then Skip. Go ahead, Wes.
Militarily, also, every war that we've fought in, you go in with, okay, what is the mission? And you don't put preconditions on how you're going to win the war.
Yeah.
The mission is we need to defeat this enemy, and then you discuss how. And if you go in saying we'll defeat it or we'll fight it to a point, then that's not a formula for winning a war.
All right, so I got two colonels here from the United States Army. So, Skip, I want in military. That was one thing that I wanted to hear, too. I know there's resistance because I don't know if the American people are there. I don't know if the American people have the stomach for a real engagement. But I don't think you defeat this caliphate until you actually engage him militarily and not just pinprick airstrikes.
I believe that's correct. But the president has the obligation to explain that to the American people. And if you can explain the necessity for it and why you're going to do it. And I will tell you this, if you put forces on the ground with what we have, we could do it much more quickly with much fewer casualties over time to both sides. And by doing that, we could have a quicker resolution of this, and then our forces would be home.
Let me say Go ahead.
The president needs to be able to articulate the case, convince the American people. Not everybody will be convinced, but at least if they know he has a plan and he's going to execute that plan, then that makes a significant difference. This administration seems to be playing do-not-lose strategy, and that just creates casualties over time.
Yeah, let me say this. We're going to – those on the phone line, stay on the phone line. We'll get back to you at the last segment of the broadcast. Jordan, you wanted to play a bite.
Well, yeah, because he did kind of – this is different, certainly different than Hillary Clinton, so I want to be fair. But I did want to get kind of reaction from Wes and Skip on this, is that he called for this new involvement with Russia. To really utilize a Russian relationship to carry it to destroy ISIS. Take a listen, Byte 21.
I also believe that we could find common ground with Russia in the fight against ISIS. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't that be a good thing? They, too, have much at stake in the outcome in Syria and have had their own battles with Islamic terrorism just as bad as ours. They have a big, big problem in Russia with ISIS.
But they've got partnership with Iran, the Revolutionary Guard and the Islamic State.
Yeah, right, and they're backing the Assad regime. So this is certainly a contrast.
We only got a minute
and
here.
I get the idea that we want to do everything possible and utilize potentially every option. So he's not taking it off the table.
Yep. Right.
But I don't know if the American people are going to be so comfortable with partnering with Russia to defeat ISIS.
Reliable partner, and their agenda has been more to prop up Assad, and they've even bombed some of the rebels that we've trained in arms. So they're not a reliable partner.
So Skip, the Trump statement about Russia, what do you think?
Well, politics makes strange bedfellows, and there are times when you do cooperate with people you disagree with, but in this case, I would proceed very cautiously for all the reasons that just been mentioned.
And Than, quickly on your end, that's not going to get a very warm reception in Washington, I don't suspect.
I suspect people are going to question whether or not he's thought that one all the way through, to be very honest with you.
All right. Overall, I give it the speech a good mark. Yeah. I think it was well done and well delivered. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Tired of that one, I have to say. A great tune to perform there by the Jay Sekulow Band. All right, we got a lot of people holding. We're going to send some of you, well, all of you, because you've been holding it a long time. We're going to send you Rise of ISIS. So we appreciate that. All right, let's go right to the phones, Logan.
All right, let's go to Larry, who's held 34 minutes. Thanks, Larry. You're on
probably
the air.
Send Larry to Rise of ISIS. Go ahead, Larry. You're on the air.
Jay, God bless your work. God bless your team, and thank you for everything y'all do.
Sure.
I'm gonna try to be really quick with you. Every day that I catch your radio program, you're feeding us information and you're fighting battles that it seems to me Congress should be controlling or have oversight
yep.
over. And I hear other people calling in asking you, what can we do? You know, other than the election process or people, we got to vote the right person in or vote them out. Is there any legal mechanism that we can use for a gross negligence?
Sure. We're doing that. I mean, we're right now in federal court against the State Department. We're in federal court against the IRS. We just won at the Court of Appeals of the IRS. We're fighting the State Department right now on the fraud they told us on this Iran deal. We've got Freedom of Information Act requests out to Homeland Security about why they took the word Islamic out of their training manuals. And then we do, and I don't want to give Congress a short shrift here. There's been a number of members of Congress that have been very helpful. And in fact, we've testified a number of times. That's an important part of what we do, Stan.
Well, I think they can be both complimented and urged on to more action. I mean, just yesterday there was a follow-up letter from the Oversight Committee on the whole issue of perjury to the Congress as far as Hillary Clinton's testimony. We've worked with them closely on that. But I will say this to the caller. We have consistently called for them to use the power of the purse and withhold funding from agencies that engage in this kind of abuse more effectively than they have. And this fall, Jay, when they return next month, we're going to do that again. There's more they can do.
All right, we're going to go right back to those phones. 1-800-684-3110.
Logan, who's next? Jerry, 26 minutes. You're on the air.
All right, Jerry, you're getting
the book. Springs.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, talks
about Hi there. It's great to be talking with you guys.
Thanks.
So I'm calling in full support of our position in defending Israel.
Great.
For two important reasons. Number one, it's probably one, if not the only nation in the Middle East where one can truly be free.
Correct.
No matter where you're from. No matter where you're from.
Right.
And number two, they are our front line in our fight against radical Islam.
Well, look, I mean, you're right on two fronts. It is the freest democracy, Jordan, in the Middle East. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. And number two, and people need to understand this, the intelligence gathering capability of the Israeli Defense Forces, the Shin Bet, the Mossad, the intelligence agencies, has been vital to keeping radical Islam, at least in the battle that we can have correct intelligence. And you can't ignore for a moment Israel's role there, Jordan. That's why we're so aggressive in our defense, folks. Look, we're at the UN at the end of the May. In the middle of August, we're in federal court. I mean, what else can I say other than that?
Yeah, and this is such an important ally for the United States. Our most important ally, I would say, in modern times because of the fight against radical Islamic terrorism. It doesn't just have to be about our connection, our Judeo-Christian heritage. That's important, I know, for our audience.
Right.
But for the United States, big picture, 10,000 feet, you know, we're looking down upon this. Why is this so important? It's the only democracy in the Middle East that's functioning that hasn't been taken over by radical Islamic
right.
groups like Lebanon and Hezbollah or Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And we have other allies. They're not democracies. You know, those other
right.
allies are basically kings with unlimited power. You know,
right.
so they've been able to somewhat keep their people in check, if you will. But this is our real ally, and stronger militarily than most of Europe. You know, in Europe, we can utilize the larger NATO structure. But if you try to point out one individual country amongst, that's kind of difficult to say, oh, is the UK more important than France? And whose military is stronger? Israel's right on the front line. We work with them on developing technology to aid our troops,
right.
to protect our troops, to protect our own homeland as they protect theirs.
And because of that relationship, regardless of who the president is, it is very important to defend Israel, both on the airwaves, but also when we have to go to court.
And that's what we're doing right now. Again, if you're just joining us, we are in federal court on that very issue right now, defending Israel. Go ahead, Logan. Who's next?
Let's go to Jack in Harrisburg, PA.
Hi, Jack.
How you doing?
Yep.
I appreciate the time and effort and work that your organization is putting in. I have a question. Why? Now, I am absolutely convinced that the Obama administration is flat-out anti-Semitic. Any Clinton administration probably would follow suit. Why, then, do the Jewish people in this country predominantly vote for administrations like the Clinton and
there is a Jewish Republican group as well, but probably a majority certainly of Jews in America vote for Democrats. And you know what that's called? It's called a free country. And then that's changing. You do see a lot more Jewish Republicans. In fact, some of the leading Republican fundraisers Shelley Adelson and some of these individuals that put a lot of money behind Israel over the years. And there's a lot of that. And in Hollywood, too. They're just more discreet. But then, that's a good political question.
Well, but let me tell you, just politically speaking, this administration has done great harm to especially Senate Democrats in this regard. I was talking to a couple of people about a couple of competitive races in the Senate, and one of the biggest factors working against the Democrat in those races is the president's position on Israel and on the Jewish community. So, historically speaking, there's a pretty close divide. In this cycle, the president is hurting Senate Democrats.
Yeah. That's right. When you hear any of these organizations speak out against Israel, you usually automatically hear from a large section of Hollywood who comes out in straight defense of Israel.
Yeah.
Even if they're liberal leaning on every other issue,
yeah,
this is where they are not. There'll be petitions. There'll be ads in Variety. You will see big support from Israel from Hollywood, from the major corporations, Hollywood, the major companies, and the major personalities. So, you're right that they may lean liberal, but not on this. Typically overwhelming.
Yeah, I'd say way overwhelming.
Yep. All right, let's go to William in Macon, Georgia.
Hey, William, you're on.
Hey, Jay. Yep. First of all, real quick, I thank God for this opportunity that we had to support Israel at this magnitude. But here's my question.
Okay.
With all that President Obama has done, especially with these releasing to get more prisoners, I think I already got the conclusion for myself, but I want to hear from you guys. Do you think he's really trying to destroy the very fabric of what America stands for?
Well, I mean, he has a different worldview, Jordan, it's fair to say. He has a different worldview on how he views America and our role in the world. I mean, this is the leading from behind, and that's why you would try to close Gitmo, which he's not going to be able to do, by the way.
Yeah, I think Hillary Clinton actually has some space here to make more of a contrast. Now, she's instead kind of fully embraced this Obama strategy, so I don't think we're going to see that right now, maybe in the debates when she's pressed a bit, because she is certainly, and I think this is important to point out, Donald Trump mentioned Israel yesterday in his speech, but she is certainly doing something different from President Obama. Policy aside, politically, she is directly trying to take her record and saying, I'm great for Israel.
Yep.
And so she's actually, I think, at least trying to sound, whether the policy matches
the
Iran deal, but she sounds hawkish.
Okay.
She sounds like she cares about Israel a lot more than President Obama did.
Yeah. All right, let's take the last call here.
Mark in D.C., 25-minute hold. Thanks.
Hey, Mark, we're sending you a book. Go ahead.
Mark, you there? Mark Helfer, 25-minute. Mark, you got less than a minute.
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to thank you guys for all the work that you do, and I got
a
question for you. One is Israel, are we protecting not only the land of Israel, or are we also supposed to protect biblically the people of Israel? My concern is just like America was not Caucasian before the 1600s, was the people who were called Jews not Caucasian or of a lighter skin?
Well, no, I mean, if you're a Middle Eastern descent from Israel, I am, everyone gets skin complexions, have more olive skin tone. I mean, that's just because the Jews of Israel today are the descendants of Abraham. I mean, so it's the same family, same lineage. Hey, folks, don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. You can help us in the defense of Israel, ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for